thank God that we are still able to meet. As Michael said, we are the church. No matter where we are, no matter where you are right now, no matter when you're watching this, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer as we open His Word. Father God, we look to You for all things. You are our great and mighty Lord. Lord, as we come to the end of this Lent season, one that has turned all of our lives upside down, we remember Jesus. We turn our hearts and our minds towards You, O Lord God. That we think and contemplate and meditate upon Your sacrifice on the cross on our behalf, O God. You, the Holy One, the Righteous One, O God, who knew no sin, became sin for us. We pray, O Lord God, that as we go through this week, Lord, You would walk us in the footsteps of Jesus. That we would know You more deeply, Father. And that we would be Your people, Father, to a world that is dying and hurting. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm getting a little ring here. It sort of seems to be, I don't know if it's up too high or... Hello? Hello? Let's try that. Hope you can hear me. I'll speak loudly, but not so much that we get... vibrations. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. We've been going through the book of 1 John, but during Holy Week now we're going to pause in that and look at some of the scriptures from the church calendar, from the liturgical lectionary that Christians around the world follow. And it's so appropriate in God's sovereignty how He led us to our passage this morning, which many churches around the world will be reading from and teaching from this morning. And that's from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The message here which reminds us of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, going to the cross on our behalf, and rising again from the dead on Easter morning, is referred to in this passage. And then it calls us together to emulate Him in believing and loving. The two main themes of the book of 1 John: God is light, therefore we believe who He is. God is love, therefore we love as He first loved us. So would you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and we'll look this morning at verses 5 through 11. Again, if you're trying to find the book of Philippians, you go through the Gospels, then the Acts, then you have, they're kind of in order by size after that, the epistles. You have Romans as the largest, and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then I always remember them. I know I said it 100 times. I just can't help myself. That we have General Electric Power Company. There's a much more godly acronym for them than that, but Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. So this is the third one of that, those four books that fit in there that are hard to remember sometimes the order of them. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's Word. In this, we see this picture of Jesus. We see His humility as He comes to earth on our behalf. We see His love as He goes to the cross for us. And we see His divinity, the fact that He is God, fully human, fully God. Yet another major theme in the book of 1 John. Remember, John is writing to those who really didn't believe that the Son of God could live in human form. And to that, John speaks very powerfully and clearly, as Paul does here in his letter to the church at Philippi, that Jesus is both God and man. And so let us take a look at Jesus, our Lord, who we follow. Jesus, our Lord, who we follow. First, in verse 5, we are called to imitate Christ. That you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are called to be imitators of Christ. Paul says this in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 also, that we are to be imitators of God. That means that in the way we think, and the way we act, the way we speak, the way we live, the things we love, the things we detest, that we are to look to Jesus as our example. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So when we have the mind of Christ, when we are following after Christ, modeling ourselves after Christ, it's not something that we can put on ourselves. It's something that we have in Christ Jesus. In uniting with Christ, in abiding in Christ, in being one with Christ, we become imitators of Christ. We follow after Him. And as we all know, we say this all the time, we follow Christ, we imitate Christ, we try to live our lives after Christ, not in order to be saved, but because we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is because we love Jesus that we desire to be like Him. And the more we see Him, the closer we draw to Him, the more we are loving Him, desiring Him, the more then our hearts want to follow in His footsteps. Out of love, like a child who emulates their parents, who see how their parents behave, for good or bad, yes, but children emulating their parents out of love for them. So we are to have the same mind as Christ because we love Him. Not by our own power, but by the empowering of the indwelling Holy Spirit for all who believe. We imitate Christ. Well, now we get the picture of who it is that we are imitating. And in what ways are we imitating Him? And first, in verse 6, this passage declares that Jesus is God. He is divine. He is God. Verse 6, Jesus Christ, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. He is God. And before He took on flesh, He dwelt with God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All God, equally God, and all one. One God in three persons. Jesus isn't one third of God. He is God. Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. The great mystery of the faith. God is three in one. One God in three persons. Jesus is fully divine. And yet, We see there in this verse a humility. Jesus deserves all worship. Jesus deserved to stay in heaven and to receive all worship, all honor, all praise, all glory. But Jesus puts that aside. Not his divinity, but all of his rights that are truly his as being the Son of God. And he, moving into verses 7 and 8, takes on human form, that Jesus is God, but also Jesus is human. Being verses 7 and 8, he made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself. Even as a man, he didn't come as a king. He didn't come into a palace. He didn't come as a wealthy person, a person of importance and prominence. No, he came lowly. He came as one despised. He came as one hated by all, humble even by human standards. Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is fully human. As he comes into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey with the palm branches waving and people putting their cloaks in front of him, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" They understood in words in that moment, with their mouths in that moment, who Jesus was. Here he is, this man, but also the one who saves as only God can. But they didn't seem to truly understand the nature of Jesus there. Seems more to be words that they're shouting in fulfillment of prophecy. Really almost as if the rocks themselves were crying out because of who Jesus truly is. He must be declared, even if those declaring his truth and his reality don't understand who he really is. Jesus is human, and taking on the form of humanity, he humbles himself from heaven, humbles himself even as here on earth, and then continues to humble himself as the only one without sin. He dies for us. I don't think we tend to grasp the enormity of that. He who knew no sin became sin for us and took on, as Romans 6 declares, the wages of sin, which is death. He died our death. Jesus. Jesus humbled himself, and Jesus shows his love for you and for each one of us by dying on our behalf. And the scripture is very powerful here at the end of verse 8. It says, not only does he die for us, but he dies on a cross. I know now we often have crosses as jewelry, and that's wonderful to remind us of the death of our Savior Jesus. As the central symbol of the Christian faith, the cross on which he paid for our sins, the cross which could not contain him, as we will celebrate on Sunday morning. But death on a cross was horrible. It was a terrible suffering that he went through. In fact, in the Old Testament, there was a command that someone could not be left hanging on a tree, on a wooden structure, or on a pole, as the NIV translates it. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, it says, if you're hanging a criminal on a tree, on a pole, you've got to take him down by night because it's so horrible, it shows forth God's judgment on someone. To be there left overnight on a cross, or just to hang on any type of tree or pole or wooden structure, shows God's curse. And our Jesus loves us so much that he takes on the curse, the cost of the curse that we brought about by our sin. And he takes that upon Himself, suffering for us because He loves us. Verses 7 and 8, we see also, as we just referred to, not only is He God, not only is He human, He is the humble servant. He humbles Himself to becoming obedient. Obedient to God the Father. He serves us. He who is our King and is our Master, He serves us. We have such a great picture of that at the Last Supper. When Jesus takes off His outer garment, takes the bowl of water, and goes around and washes His disciples' feet. And we know how disgusting that must have been. Here is the Master, our God, our Savior, our King, washing His servants' feet. This passage says that we are to have the mind of Christ. We are to be like Christ. We are to imitate Christ. And He says the same thing to His disciples after He washes their feet. He says, as I have done, now you go and do likewise. That we are to wash one another's feet. We have a great opportunity during this crisis that our world is in right now with COVID-19. We have an opportunity to serve one another. And I know so many of us are, and so many of you are wanting to serve. And I would just suggest that we continue daily to pray and ask the Lord to give us opportunities to serve, that He would show us ways that we can serve other people in love. We've got to be creative right now in many ways, since we can't physically contact each other. We would find ways by God's leading, and that should be one of our beautiful prayers that we have every day. God, lead me this day to serve someone, to see someone in need, and to meet that need in the love of Jesus. And may there be no task that is too lowly for us. For if our Savior Jesus can wash feet, there should be no task that we consider below ourselves. And we should want to humble ourselves just as Jesus humbled Himself. Well, from humility, we see in the end of this passage in verses 9 through 11 that it was through Jesus' humility that God the Father exalts Him. God's upside down kingdom. The first will be last. The last will be first. Not the greatest among us who is great in the kingdom of heaven. It's the one who's the servant of all who is great in the kingdom of heaven. And we see from Jesus' humility in verses 9 through 11 here that Jesus is and will be exalted. Our Savior Jesus will be exalted for all eternity because He and He alone is worthy. Verses 9 through 11, therefore, because of His humility, therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. And from this, Jesus gets the worship. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this confession, this glory that Jesus receives, brings glory to the Father, to the glory of God the Father. The end of verse 11 there. Jesus is fully God. He's fully human. He humbled Himself as a servant to serve us when we had hated Him and despised Him and rejected Him and just not really even gave Him any thought. And through His humility of death on a cross, God exalts Him. How then should we live? Let us take a look at Jesus. Let us see who He is, how His heart beats, and let us draw near to Him. Let us love Him all the more as we see Him here in His divinity and humanity and His humility and love and sacrifice. And let that just fill our hearts with love for Jesus. And in loving Him, let us long and move and pray and act according to His will. That we would be like Him. That we would be imitators of Christ. That we would have the mind of Christ and thus put our hands and our feet and our mouths in action as Jesus would have us do. The name Christian means little Christ. That we are little pictures of Jesus, not just on the outside, but from our hearts. Let us be like Jesus. Let us draw near to God as we worship Him and as we imitate Him, that He is our exalted Lord. He is the Christ. He is the one we worship. He is the one we imitate. And in doing so, our hearts are transformed. Let us love and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. We thank You for Your love and for Your mercy. We thank You that You took on our sin, O Lord God. That You humbled Yourself to be obedient to death, even death on a cross. Lord, would You work within us now, please. Within our hearts, by the working of Your Holy Spirit, that we would love You, see You as You are. You would draw us to Yourself, and then have us, O Lord God, live out as You live, Lord Jesus. That we would serve one another, that we would serve those around us, O Lord God, out of love for You, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.